Scott. We are back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. I'm Alex Turco here with Scott Manzi, drinking some beer for a Monday Night Football game. All is right in the world again because we missed last week.
We did.
I didn't have a voice. It was a crazy phenomenon, but it was hard to talk sports with my buddy if I didn't have a voice to do it.
Yeah.
So lost my voice. We're back in the saddle. We're better than ever. And we're excited to talk some football. And those of you watching here, I've denounced my Florida State fandom. Florida State lost this week to Pitt. Big Pitt fan. Going back to my roots here.
Yeah, really.
Scott didn't even know this was happening.
Nope.
This is unplanned, but that's right. Pitt, Panthers,
that's
hail
a heck
to
of
Pitt.
A hat, by the way.
You like that? It's a corduroy throwback. Dan Marino. It's my grandpa's.
Well, it's not even throwback anymore. Now it's back in vogue. That's what they look like now.
You're right. It's literally like
maybe
the
not
70s
corduroy
hat.
Hats, but like that's the logo and the coloring again.
It's big time.
It's a good
it's
look.
Big time. But, you know, Florida State disappoints us per usual.
Yeah.
Very, very upsetting, but I've denounced them, so it means nothing to me, and I'm sure you can break down your team, the Florida State Seminoles, here coming up shortly. We're also going to get to NFL contenders, just contenders. We're going to break down the top teams in the NFL. Lot to get to here with the Big Ten back. The Pac-12 was back.
Yeah.
Oregon covered for me. Turco trifecta we're going to get to, so I guess I'll open this up, Scott. Tell me about your Florida State Seminoles, and I'll break down my Pitt Panthers after you finish.
Well, listen, at this point, we're beating a dead horse on Florida State. We kind of know what they are. We've said what they are. We know this is a rebuilding deal. This is about it's an evaluation period. It's officially an evaluation period at this point.
A rebuild that they haven't – it doesn't even feel like they broke ground yet to lay a foundation.
Year zero. And I'll continue to say that, but it's year zero. Next year will be the start of the evaluation period for the coaching staff. For this year, it's evaluating which of these players, because remember, everybody can come back next year, but which of these players are actually going to be a part of the picture going forward? And that's what we'll see. It's sort of a tryout for some of these guys going forward, hopefully continuing to buy in. But it's hard with a team that has lost a lot over the last couple of years, that is losing again now in a year in which we know that if you say, I don't want to play because COVID, I mean, that's an acceptable excuse, and you can come right back next year with your same eligibility left. So there will be, as this season goes on, not just at Florida State, but at other programs, we saw it at Pitt last week, actually, we'll see more and more of players, I think, say, you know what, I've had enough. I'm going to go home for the holidays, enjoy myself. It's tough. It's tough on... They're not supposed to interact. They're supposed to be super careful, all this stuff, and to do all this, make all these sacrifices, make all these allowances for themselves, and then not win games. I mean, that's not the easiest thing in the world. But for Florida State, hey, you know what? Next week's another week. NC State is a winnable opponent with Devin Leary not playing at quarterback. We'll just have to see if this group can regroup.
Revenge round two. He had his opportunity last year.
Yeah, and they were bad last year, and they're without Leary.
He showed out this week against Miami, didn't he? On Friday.
Yeah, he
looked good.
That was the magic of the snake pit on a weekday
Friday
game.
Yes, it
nighttime
just felt like
Thursday, Friday. NC State at home. They just always have a little bit.
I didn't
extra
touch
juice
that
there.
Game because I knew NC State would pull some rabbit out of the hat, and they did. But thankfully, we are so exhausted about talking about Florida State that we're not required to.
No.
No one's making us. So
we're not getting paid to it.
So that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move us on along because I really don't even have anything to say about that disgrace of a program right now, except I still believe in Mike Norvell, but there were a lot of disappointing aspects of the game. I never want to see James Blackman again. Couldn't believe I saw him for the two plays he was in.
That was an interesting decision.
I think
one
Norvell
that has been
knows
widely
right
panned.
Away. He knew right away.
He was like,
oh boy.
Why did I do this?
Yeah. Oh boy. I look like an idiot.
Yeah.
And
he did. And he got crushed, right, rightfully so.
But here's the game of the weekend. Clemson, Notre Dame. And it lived up to all the hype. It was a super enjoyable game to watch. Clemson going toe to toe with Notre Dame in South Bend.
Officiating notwithstanding.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm with you.
They made it less fun to watch.
They did a replay on every single play was under review. It was unbelievable.
They took the best game of the weekend and somehow made it not as enjoyable. But anyway, we won't talk
Their
about that.
Their thought was, we can make this 9 hours if we get involved, and it'll help NBC's money, and we'll get a little piece of that puzzle. piece of that pie. But but you know, Clemson was a favorite in this game without Trevor Lawrence. Everyone was surprised by that. Hey, what do you think about this? Notre Dame's a hot team to pick, but look at DJ
Uiagalelei.
Okay, I like it.
Uiagalelei.
So whenever I refer to him, I'll say DJ, and I'll let you fill in that.
Okay, yep, I got it. Okay. I practice it. If I don't know if you saw my little video that we put out 2 weeks ago when he made his first start, or last, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and I practiced it for like 5 minutes before I recorded the video,
and then stumbled
all over it when it came time to record.
It's not an easy one. You know how, as an announcer, you know this, with the pronunciation keys?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I went. I went on the website and looked at the pronunciation guide.
They couldn't even break that one down properly to where I could grammatically read it.
Yeah.
We've had
Tagovailoas. We've had Antetokounmpos. You think we'd be used to this stuff by now. But
yeah,
that game, like you said, lived up to
the
hype.
What happened to Ken Stabler?
Yeah. You know? Right. Tim Smith. Yeah. It was
Joey Galloway.
It was almost a game of the century type feel, right? Notre Dame hosted the first ever game of the century, 1993 against Florida State, when they were number one in the country, beat them. This was probably, you can probably count on one hand the amount of big games that Notre Dame has won since that moment. And this is arguably the biggest win, I would say the biggest win of Brian Kelly's tenure. He's been in big games. He's got himself into situations to play big games. They just don't ever seem to win the big game, right?
Yeah.
But they were able to go out there, and I know there was no Trevor Lawrence, but they played with a five-star QB that's pretty darn good who threw for 400 yards. And I know that guys are dropping like flies, and that comes in defense. But I'm still pretty impressed. This is a Notre Dame team that I think in years past still would not have won that game. But I think that says a lot about this year's Notre Dame bunch. I think it's the best team that Brian Kelly's ever had.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. I mean, the team that played Alabama with Everett Golson, what year was that?
That was 2012 national champion. Yeah. That team wasn't, that was more lucky than
they
good.
They kind of snuck in.
Yeah, they kept pulling out late wins. You know, they're beating Pitt in overtime. They're doing things like that, which didn't feel championship worthy. And then they went into a title game and got trounced.
I'll tell you, Ian Book impressed me today or this weekend with his ability to run in the pocket, scramble, if
his
you will.
His maneuverability was
great.
Yeah,
he was just, I mean, they could not keep him in the pocket, and that was a huge issue for the Clemson defense. They couldn't contain the guy. He wasn't running all over him, but he was extending plays, buying time, and making dime throws on the run, which was really impressive. He was rolling out and hitting guys. Even if it was a 10-yard gain, it was a first down, and he was playing well like that. Their offense really did impress me. Defense, I mean, Clemson lit them up.
Yeah, but I'm going to go ahead and say, forget it. I mean, defense, no one can play defense this year. Georgia went in with one of the best defenses, and they got absolutely smoked by Florida this week. I mean,
that was smoke and mirrors anyway, but I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit there. I'm just not going to sit there and be like, oh, I think this defense is bad because they gave up a bunch of yards to a good offense. No, I mean, there are a lot of good. The offenses are light years ahead of the defenses in college football this year, in football in general this year. And I think we just need to accept that and stop sitting there going, why did they give up 400 yards through the air when everyone is giving up 400 yards through the air?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to talk about Florida just for a second. I know we didn't plan on talking about them, but we might as well hit on that. They looked damn good, and I know Kyle Pitts might not play this weekend, but they're back in the race. Texas A&M's back in the race. Wisconsin's somewhere floating in the abyss of, well, we haven't played enough games, but there's a lot of good football left to be played. Unfortunately, the slate this weekend, we just looked at it before we started the show.
Not a great weekend.
Pretty weak, but you have Clemson, who only fell to number four. They're not going to be penalized that much for not
having
lost.
They shouldn't be.
Notre Dame, who holds the head-to-head over them, and then Alabama, number one. Ohio State's still up there.
Well, here's a thought for you. Okay, so, and we're about to get to, in our NFL subject, looking at Super Bowl contenders and how there seems to be a line right there, right? For the college football playoff, I'm going to go ahead and say that unless something changes, the Pac-12 is not getting a team in because they won't play enough games. The Big 12 has played their way out of it. So you're sitting here in a situation in which the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 10 will provide one of those leagues is going to get two. Because technically Notre Dame would be the outs. They're in the ACC this year. So the ACC has Notre Dame and Clemson. The SEC has Florida, Alabama, Texas A&M, and then the Big Ten has Ohio State. And I'm not ready to, you know, Indiana's a great story. I'm not ready to quite put them in there. We'll talk about the Big Ten more in a bit. But which of those two leagues, ACC, SEC really, do you think is more likely right now to get two of those four in?
Honestly, it sounds crazy, but this year, the ACC, because Notre Dame played Clemson, their schedule's
and
done.
And they beat them.
Right. They beat them. That's what they needed. If they lost that, they'd be like, man, that's a tough loss, but they're out of the race. That was their one shot to prove it. So now it looks like Notre Dame can cakewalk through the rest of their schedule, although we did joke about this. The last time Notre Dame beat a number one overall team was 1993, Florida State, at home next week. Guess who they played? Boston College. This week, fast forward 27 years, and they play Boston College again following...
A scrappy Boston College bunch who has a former Notre Dame quarterback starting
Djokovic
for them.
Djokovic. What's his name?
Djokovic.
Djokovic, yeah.
Yeah, and...
I knew there was an R somewhere.
And they give Clemson all they could handle in Memorial Stadium 2 weeks ago. I mean, this is a pretty decent Boston College bunch.
Hey,
not one to sleep on, at least.
They're getting 13.5. I'll tell you from a betting perspective, that's a game I'm already thinking about hopping on.
I
mean, a two-touchdown game, I just am not sure. Notre Dame, after a huge... It's due for a letdown. It's time. But back to your question. The two teams remaining in the ACC have already played. Clemson is not going to be penalized that much without Lawrence, so they're going to stay in the top four, and Notre Dame is.
Yeah, and they'll meet in the ACC championship game. I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion at this point. And Trevor Lawrence is back, and Clemson wins the game, and both of those teams have one loss, and it's to each other.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you've got to put both of them in at that point, right? I don't see how you don't.
If Florida wins out, they're going to make it tough.
So basically, it gets to a situation where Florida has to beat Alabama in the SEC title game in order to even be considered. Otherwise, they're a two-loss team.
Yes, but A&M also is going to be sitting there trying to win out.
Well,
I mean,
what do you do
with them on the outside looking in?
If they're
because they have the tiebreaker over Florida, the head-to-head.
True. Now
it gets sticky, doesn't it?
I know it does. I mean, that's why this is a good question.
Because SEC, I'm assuming if they play the championship today, because they're just doing top two teams, right?
The SEC's still doing divisions. The ACC's doing top two teams.
Okay.
The SEC. So it would be, you know, whoever. It would be Alabama unless they lose, but they still have the tiebreaker over A&M. So it's going to be Alabama unless they lose twice,
right?
Which isn't happening.
Which, no.
And then Florida most likely now certainly have the inside track out of the East. And you'll just have to hope, if you're a Gator fan, that that's not a repeat of the McElwain Florida-Alabama SEC title games and it's actually competitive. Because if Florida gets housed, yeah, then maybe Texas A&M gets an opportunity. But I don't see them putting Texas A&M in over Notre Dame that loses, say, by 10 to Clemson in the ACC title game. I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't think they would. Man, what a wacky year it is,
isn't
it?
What a wacky year. Speaking of wacky, I got to pull this up, and we got to discuss.
Unpredictable, to say the least. Another team I do like, I know the Pac-12 is not making it in as you pull that up. I like Oregon, man.
Yeah.
I like me some Oregon.
You've been kind of on Oregon here for a little bit.
I just like Cristobal a lot.
That was your one win in the Turco trifecta, which we'll talk about here.
No, just your one win. Leave it at that. It's good enough. One win. Another one win week.
Another one win week. Yeah, that's kind of tough.
Hit my lock, though.
Yes. No, you didn't. No, you had the Texans covering
five and a half,
and they did not.
Shit. I took them money line in a couple parlays, which was nice, but wow. What a tough week.
Yeah, tough week. Okay, so let's look at this.
Hey, I took Arkansas over Tennessee. Hit that money line. You like that?
Congrats. You want a cookie?
I just want a pat on the back getting just absolutely worked in a couple of games this week.
So the reason why the one league that we said doesn't really have a chance of this right now, the Big Ten, is because of the names that are at the top of the Big Ten. Now, Ohio State, we know what we get there. And there's a lot of cachet. There's a lot of preconceived notions. So far, they're living up to it. But the rest of your teams that either have zero or one losses in the Big Ten are as follows. Indiana, Maryland, Northwestern, Purdue, and Wisconsin. Any of those, and Wisconsin's a weird, weird deal because they haven't played since week one when they look great. And
right.
they're
it's not their fault.
It's a matter of, you know, which QB is going to be playing. if they can overcome the odds and start winning some games, great, but they've lost a couple of games now. They've lost two games now. And they already had a shortened schedule to begin with. I don't know if they'll be able to play enough games to garner enough respect to get into serious playoff consideration, unless maybe they go into the Big Ten title game and they beat Ohio State. But how about some of those other teams, man? I mean, your ranked Indiana Hoosiers, who you thought were
frauds
against Michigan, who turns out they're the real frauds.
They are the real frauds. I had to turn that off at halftime. And I'll tell you right now, Michael Penix Jr., looked sharp.
You trashed him a couple weeks ago on this couch, but he opened. Now, granted, he played his best game of the year by a landslide.
For sure.
He went out there and he started off sharp where he had been kind of iffy, especially early in games earlier this year. But yeah, no, he was like 4-for-4 on his opening drive. He went out there and spun it. And I don't know, maybe it's the year of the left-handed quarterback or something, but he went out there and that Indiana team plays defense. They play tough. They're well coached.
Yeah, they're very well coached. That's the thing that I noticed the most. They were in position all game to make plays. The play calling was there. Yes. It was unbelievable to watch Michigan crumble like that. And you know what? Mid-game, it was against my pick. And unfortunately, I had Michigan a couple ways. So it hurt me. It hurt my heart. But at halftime, I said, screw Harbaugh, man. I want to see it burn now, because I was like, he is the Michigan man. Every year I hear about them being top 10. And every year it's the same story. And then they get hot. Watch, they'll get hot. And then they'll finish the year 9-3.
I think they're talented enough too. But you know who I'm out on?
That's what we've seen them do.
I'm less out on Harbaugh as I am out on Don Brown. Because I don't think it's the offense's fault per se. Their defense, and I know.
That offense, Joe Milton looked like booty. He was not playing well.
They haven't stopped anyone. And Don Brown is supposed to be this great defensive coordinator.
He's supposed to be a guru. It's because they didn't have Jabril Peppers. You remember that one bowl game, the Orange Bowl, Florida State versus?
Yeah.
It was Florida State versus Michigan.
That was the last great moment in Florida State football history.
And Derwin James was out the whole year. Probably the best safety prospect in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Jabril Peppers doesn't play because he was hurt during warmups.
That's right.
And
that's
the whole game they mentioned his name.
They just talk about him the whole
every
time.
Single drive.
Because he was sexy, because he played both ways and returned kicks and all this other stuff. And then he went in the first round of the NFL draft, and what happened to him?
He actually made a play yesterday, a pick.
Does he play for the Raiders?
Oh, Giants.
The Giants now.
Yeah.
Jeez. He's bounced around.
Yeah, he didn't do anything in Cleveland, got deuced. But, here's Joe Flacco slinging a touchdown.
That's what he does. That's what he does.
Joe Flacco.
All right. Any of these other guys interest? I think we can say that,
You know I'm a Purdue guy.
Yeah. Right now, Indiana's the second best team in the Big Ten. We feel comfortable saying that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Enough film to say so.
Okay,
too.
So you like Purdue still, 2-0
right now.
I still
like Purdue. They got their game canceled last week, which was a huge test. They were going to play Wisconsin. COVID canceled that game. I thought that would have been huge to see what Purdue was all about against a real big-name school. I mean, they beat Iowa out of the gates, which Iowa's always a scrappy bunch.
Yeah, so Purdue has beat Iowa and Illinois to this point, lost the Wisconsin game. I mean, that's honestly one of the more underrated games of the weekend is they're playing undefeated and number 23 Northwestern.
And I like that matchup there because Purdue, in their first couple games, would they drop? I mean, you just had them pulled up 27 points, I think, in week one.
Yeah, so they had 24 in their win over Iowa, 31 in their win over Illinois.
So they haven't been lighting teams up,
no.
But they can hang in a dogfight with Northwestern, who's a low-scoring team also.
Yeah, Northwestern so far, they've been better on offense. So they scored 43 against a Maryland team. 43-3, they win that game. Maryland has not lost since, including beating Penn State on Saturday.
Yeah, but what's Penn State? 0-3 Penn State.
Yeah, but
I agree with you. It's a nice win.
Yeah,
it looks
at some
good.
At some point, like, that looks like a better win. They beat Iowa 21-20, 21-13 over Nebraska. So, yeah, maybe a little fool's gold there that week one because it's first week and it's hard to sit there and read too much into after the long layoff, what a week one game looks like. But this is just an upside-down year in the Big Ten. And for me and you maybe, like, it's kind of fun seeing some different names, some different faces. But, I mean, Fox is probably pissed. Yeah. They're like, I mean, we needed Michigan and Penn State and Michigan State to be good along with Ohio State. Now, they'll still get good ratings for Ohio State, but are people tuning in to see Northwestern, Purdue? I mean, unless you're a diehard of one of those two teams or you're just a degenerate like us, then probably not.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's the only reason you would tune into that game, because it's going to be low scoring.
All right, give me an early favorite, because they're still doing divisions in the Big Ten. So we said Indiana's the second best team, but I don't think they're good enough to beat Ohio State yet. But that could be a fun game when it comes around. I'm kind of looking forward to it. Who is the favorite in the West, Northwestern, Purdue, or Wisconsin still?
I want to say Wisconsin. I saw one game. Is Graham Mertz playing?
Actually, I think there was just an update on that. Paul Christ today came out, made a comment on it.
I liked that. You know I'm a sucker for Purdue, but I got to go with Wisconsin here.
Yeah, so there's a possibility of him playing. He'll likely practice this week. Other than that, no details. So we'll have to keep
Michigan,
an eye on.
A Michigan team that I'm just sitting here
backs
dogging.
Against the wall.
But they're desperate. And, and the last thing you want to do is play a crazed dog with talent like that where they have to win. Mm-hmm. For some reason, Michigan came out so flat. Their players, I mean, it's a noon game, but that's what you do in the Big Ten. You always play noon games. They just didn't look like they cared. They're all sitting around walking. I mean,
it's 2 weeks in a row that they've looked like that, by the way.
They look terrible.
They look bad in a rivalry game
against
Michigan State.
Yeah, it was like, who's their best player? Because in my mind, I've tuned in like excited to watch these guys be, you know, fired up. Joe Milton, I just talked about him on this podcast 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, battle of Florida boys at quarterback.
Tampa boys, too, I believe.
Hokey and then Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never came to fruition.
No, it did not. All right, so last thing here in the college football world before we transition. When it comes to the playoff, I know we just talked about who's going to fill it in here, right? Two probably for one of these, the ACC or the SEC, and you're laughing at this ridiculous graphic of Joe Flacco with Ravens wings.
He has Raven wings on. For our listeners that can't see this, I have to describe for a second. Joe Flacco, for some reason, and ESPN decided
the
to put Raven wings
really
on him, animated
time.
Wings,
and
animated
dancing.
Joe Flacco in a Ravens jersey and have him dancing.
Yeah, it was very strange.
It was way too odd. All right, carry on.
Hopefully nobody was on something when they watched that. They probably would have really freaked out.
Talking about tripping out. I tripped out. I'm sober.
So we just said ACC, SEC, one of those two leagues likely to get two teams in. But we got to take a moment here and offer some respect to two of the better teams from the group of five that we have seen in quite some time. And that would be Cincinnati and BYU, who are both trouncing opponents.
I'm glad you're doing this, Scott, because I've been on this Cincy train early in the year on betting lines. I've texted our buddy Bods about it, and they are coming through with me in a big way every Saturday. They did it this week against Houston. They did it last week for me, big time. I mean, they're covering 13-point spreads. They're hammering opponents. Admittedly, my first time watching Zach Wilson play quarterback was this past Friday.
He's good.
And he's a player. Mm-hmm. And I've read about him. I've seen highlights. I watched the game against Boise State, and they absolutely dominated them. And he's athletic. He's smooth. He has a quick release. The ball's a tight spiral. It's a zip. I liked him a lot.
He's a guy that's going to rocket up some draft boards sooner rather than later, I'm sure.
Yeah. I saw a mock this morning from thedraftinsider.com. I mean, it's way too early. It's a mock draft. But the fact that he's starting to see his name in the first round, very interesting to see him hop in there. We all of a sudden have a lot of QBs. Everyone wants to talk about the Justin Fields and the Trevor Lawrence. Trey Lance from North Dakota State. But Mac Jones from Alabama.
Yep, he's playing his way up.
He's crept up there. He's playing really well. He's made a lot of money this year. And then we also have Kyle Trask, another first-round name.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's a lot of guys you can kind of take your pick as an evaluator. If you're a scout, you truly don't have to worry about being in that top five if you have a nice number two or a nice B option. Because I'm assuming everyone's number one is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. It feels like it's almost playing out to be kind of an RG3, Andrew Luck, which one do you go with situation here? So it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. But this Cincinnati group feels a lot like that Utah team to beat Alabama. Like, they're just tough. Yeah. And they're going to go, they're not going to get a playoff opportunity, unfortunately, probably for them.
No, it's just not how it works.
But they will play in a BCS quote unquote bowl, one of those power bowls, big name ones.
If they have them.
If they have them, yeah, asterisk, if they have them. They will beat a team into obliteration, whoever they draw, I feel like. I mean, it is a team that really embodies kind of the toughness of their head coach, longtime defensive coordinator, Luke Fickell at Ohio State.
A lot of Florida State people wanted his name thrown around and never, ever got any momentum. Yeah. But I bet you know, looking at what you see now, you wish you had him. Not that Norvell's not the guy, and not that that's going with this, but he's a great coach, and the second he went there, he had him playing tough football.
And, Michigan State really wanted him in the offseason, and it felt like kind of a fit there because he's a Midwest guy. He played in the Big Ten. Yeah. You felt like he's going to get a Big Ten job eventually. But, man, oh, man. I mean, he's got them playing as good as they played since Brian Kelly was there and in a different way, right? It was the high-flying offenses with Tony Pike and Zach Collaros.
You remember Tony Pike when he upset my Pitt Panthers?
Yeah, I was at that game.
You were at the game?
The one in Cincinnati in 2008.
When they came all the way back?
No, that was the next year. That was the next year. It was the first. I was the one at Cincinnati in 2008 with LeSean McCoy. When they led pretty much the whole game.
I remember you were at that game. They stormed the field.
Yep, and it was like 20 degrees.
Yeah, I remember that.
Armand Bins and Armand Bins. Yeah, there were some good guys on that team. But that was all offense. It was all offense. They were just going to outscore you. That was their deal. And then they got into situations in bowl games where they just couldn't outscore teams.
Yep. But Florida.
Yeah, well, Florida. They ran into the worst Florida team to play, too. Last game ever for Tim Tebow team.
He wasn't losing that against an NFL team.
Exactly. Yeah, he had God on his side. But they played a really good one against Tyrod Taylor and Virginia Tech in the Orange Bowl the year before that, too.
That's right.
But this team, I mean, they just bring they're slobber knockers on both sides of the ball because they run it hard on offense and they're tough on defense. But I mean, it pains me a little bit to say. I mean, not like Xavier as a football team to really compete against him, and I'm not in the city anymore to hear people talk about it as much. But that's a group. That's a good group that plays at Nippert Stadium, and Coach Fick, he's got him going. He's a big acronym
that
guy.
Was the,
have you seen the
that was the most
team on the back of his like
oh,
best thing?
For?
I don't even know what it stands for, but it's definitely like one of those
together.
Like,
it's definitely a
together all
effort.
Men.
Effort, all men. Yeah, I like that.
I don't know.
No, I like the way you put that, Scott. You did your best to compliment them while also saying you hate them without saying you hate them. Very nice.
I tried.
Very nice.
I tried. BYU, I need to watch a little bit more of them. I missed them.
That was my first opportunity, so I can't act like some connoisseur.
Well, granted, they haven't played a ton this year. I mean, they've been kind of bouncing around because of their weird schedule. But
9:45 was a tough kick, but they pulled away early enough.
I need them to play one of the 9 a.m. games on a Saturday so I can watch.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
That was nice. Hopefully Pac-12 continues to do more of that going forward. All right, before we get to NFL, I want to hit a few segments with you here because we haven't done these in a while. Sound good to you?
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time. I forgot we even had segments.
I know. Well, first and foremost, we have to give a shout-out to Ice Mule Coolers as part of the Ice Mule Coolers Cold as Ice segment. Ice Mule Coolers. Sports Bar 15 at checkout for 15% off. Holidays are coming up. What better gift can you give that person you can't ever find a gift for than an ice meal cooler? Save 15% off checkout. Use our promo code, Sports Bar 15, and you can get whoever you need to get a gift. We're doing your shopping for you. We're helping you out. How about that?
When's Cyber Monday?
Cyber Monday
is right after
Black Friday. So, yes.
So, just a little heads up here for our listeners. Ice Mule Coolers is actually running a site-wide sale from Friday of last week until Cyber Monday. So, no codes right now are going to be working.
The next 3 weeks.
So, next 3 weeks. That's a long time to get you an Ice Mule Cooler. You won't be using our promo codes. That's kind of a bummer.
Okay.
But you're our listener, so
we're making it even easier.
20% off.
How about that?
For the next 3 weeks. How do you like that? Cyber Monday is the cutoff. So get in there, get an Ice Mule Cooler. Tweet at them that you heard about it from the Sports Bar podcast. That's as good as it gets there. 20% off. Can't beat that. And we're giving you a little sneak peek to that by being a listener. So thank you for that. And enjoy your Ice Mule Cooler. I know I use mine all the time.
Same. All right, cold as ice. Icing the kicker. How about this for some truly like the synergy of this segment
right now.
I feel
like some hardcore analytics are about to come
out. No. Okay. Not hardcore analytics. Just what my eyeballs tell me. And it's so appropriate to make cold as ice, icing the kicker here, right? Virginia Tech lost a football game on Saturday at home against Liberty because they just didn't think. They're just like, oh, a guy is about to try a game-winning field goal. The thing we have to do right now is ice him. Never mind, it was a 54-yard try that is unlikely to be made in the first place. Never mind that the thing I hate is the wait till the very last second and then call the timeout, because then the play normally happens.
They get to kick it.
Yes.
So they get
and
a
then,
practice
And
stroke.
Then, yeah, you either get to kick it and make it, and you go, hey, I already made it. I can do that again. Or you get to kick it and you miss it, and you go, oh, thank God, I get to try that again. Or you have what Virginia Tech did, block the freaking field goal and return it for a touchdown, and it doesn't count because your dumb coach called a timeout at the last possible second, yet still let a play be run. Don't ice kickers. And if you're going to ice a kicker, do it early. Like, they line up, they step it out, call timeout, then they have to think about it again. Don't give them the free kick. That's the dumbest thing you can do. And lastly, don't ice a kicker on a 50-plus yarder.
Especially, yeah, they're already shitting
their
pants.
Ice them on a 30-yarder. When you actually need
a chip shot.
I guarantee you every kicker, exactly like you said, it is in their head already. You're not changing anything by calling a timeout. You're not getting any more in their head. Yes, it's in their head that they had to kick a 54-yard field goal to win a game. Nothing you can do can change that. That's it. I had to get that off my chest.
I love the kicker in you when it comes out, the special teamer in you. We get it every now and again on this show. I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen kicker Scott.
If I'm Virginia Tech's AD, I fire Justin Fuente on the field and I hire him back the next day and I go, never do that again.
Pretty hard. Pretty harsh AD here.
I know. But he's got to learn a lesson.
No, I totally agree with you. Why
Virginia
give him
Tech
the practice
lost a game?
The last second thing means nothing. You're just giving them extra 1 second to think about it when they're already thinking about it. There's no logic to that.
Also, the team was poorly coached on the next play, too, because of the fact that they ran another play, got it closer, because everybody was playing prevent for some reason with like 6 seconds left, and then they were able to kick him
more.
You
know everyone
field.
Has Hugh Freeze already signed up in Powder Orange, right?
Well, I mean, I don't
Everyone
know.
Everyone has him going to Tennessee.
I don't know how he's cheating this time, but I'm curious to see how it comes out after
I just,
the fact.
Every time I think of him, I love seeing the mental image of him in that hospital chair
yes.
up in the
Dino
window.
Dino Babers pointing to him and him going thumbs
with
up from
thumbs
the hospital
up,
chair.
Yeah,
yes. Great
from
image.
His deathbed.
Great image. All right, there's your Ice Meal Coolers Cold as Ice of the Week. Again, a sale, 20% off. You don't even need a promo code. Go get your ice milk coolers. Get your holiday shopping done early.
Yeah, but go
early.
Ahead and let them know we sent you.
Let them know we sent you. All right. Waller of the Week is back, and I'm excited for this. This is kind of a two-parter. First, we have to revisit our old friend, previous Waller of the Week winner, Gary Anderson, the now former head coach of the Utah State football
team. I thought of you right away when I saw it.
Remember, we documented how Gary Anderson came out before the season and talked about how
Quitter.
If anyone opted out for COVID, they weren't part of the team, they were quitters. And yet then we documented how Gary Anderson both quit on Wisconsin and quit on Oregon State. Wisconsin, right after the season, didn't even tell his son, who was on the team, that he was leaving to take the Oregon State job, and then left Oregon State midway through the season. Sounds like a guy that quits a lot. Well, how about this? He just quit again. Quit on Utah State this time. It was a bit of a mutual parting of the ways, but he's such a bad coach that Utah State, who brought him back where he was a winner the first time, said in the middle of a COVID season, yeah, we've had enough. You've got to go, man.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
He sucks.
He must suck. Like, how can you sit through a meeting with a guy when you have no money because of COVID?
Yes.
And I mean, Utah State's probably not a
flush
fruitful,
place. Yeah,
I mean, exactly. They're probably keeping as many pennies as they can when they can, but they saw an opportunity to get rid of this asshole and they were like, you're out of here.
We have to do this.
We literally can't handle you anymore. We will go bankrupt and never play football again rather than sit through another meeting with you or watch you on our sideline.
Amen. Golly. Gary Anderson, you're the worst. And glad that we were able to revisit you as a two-time Waller of the Week.
Hey, that's our first two-time Waller of the Week.
Yeah, and he earned it, let me
tell
you.
Yeah, he did. I like that. We'll see if it can be taught.
All right. And the second part of this, I don't know if you saw this circulating. Apparently, comment made initially by Skip Bayless in response to the comments made by Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores about Tua Tagovailoa last week.
Didn't see it.
Led to some articles and some think pieces reporting, including Roto World Football. This is a, you know, checkmark site. Report, Dolphins could move on from Tua in 2021. So Brian Flores made the comment, he was like, Tua's not auditioning or whatever, or he's not playing for his job, you know, something along those lines. And like Skip Bayless was like, yes, he is. And that became a report that got aggregated by websites that basically was implying that Tua Tagovailoa, granted, his numbers week one were not exactly eye-popping.
No. But, no, he threw for like 83
But they won
yards.
The game. Like, yeah. They didn't need him to do any more.
Hey, he's 2-0.
I mean, his defense was incredible. The Rams were melting down. Like, they were just not asking
Block
him to do
punts,
a whole lot.
Yeah.
They weren't asking him to do a whole lot. And he was much better on Sunday against in another win.
In a very good
against
game.
Against the Cardinals in what was a very closely contested game against two guys that both looked like they were a 5-6 playing quarterback. That was amazing.
Yeah.
One left-handed, one right-handed. But what are we doing with aggregating bad reports
from Skip Bayless?
From Skip
too, it's a guaranteed bad report.
Don't give the guy any more credit than he deserves. And Tua, man, got drafted 5th overall or whatever, right? Yeah, we might be moving on. I mean, this isn't Paxton Lynch,
right? Yeah, Paxton Lynch, man.
That guy was a first round pick.
That's right.
How
he's
bad
not even
is that?
In the league.
Yeah, well, John Elway's like, hey, you're tall.
Yeah, and the Steelers tried bringing him in. They're like, hey, former first-round guy, bring him in the practice squad, see what happens. He came in for a month, and they're like, oh, boy, you're terrible.
Yeah, you're really bad.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
I don't know. I mean, credit to, I guess, Justin Puente at that point, right? Like, somehow making him into I just trashed Justin Puente. Now I'll give him all the props. Yeah.
Made well, you said you'd fire him and rehire him right away.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. I just wanted to prove a point. I needed to teach him a lesson because he needed to learn a lesson. All right, there you go. Waller of the Week. It's back. I know you guys have missed it. Maybe it's just been quiet in the last couple of weeks, but we had some moments this last week, so I had to stand out and point those out. All right, so shall we get to the NFL now?
Been looking forward to it all day. I hate college football now. I'm anti-college, except Pitt. I'm a big Pitt guy.
We were looking at this, and we felt that we were in a situation where we could pretty much identify the teams that are in a position probably to be in the Super Bowl conversation at this point. And we definitely know who the have-nots are, and there's probably a few teams lingering on the edges. But really, if you run through it, your teams that are really in the running still at this point, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, 4 from the AFC, and then you've got the Green Bay Packers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the New Orleans Saints, and the Seattle Seahawks, four from the NFC.
Yeah, you have to throw Russ in there.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go through, let's go AFC first. Give me why you think the Pittsburgh Steelers should be or could be Super Bowl favorites to make it out of the AFC at this point.
It's easy, and it's a team near and dear to my heart that I obviously watch every game, but it's that defense. And T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree coming off the edge, Minka Fitzpatrick roaming around in the secondary, they're almost impossible to scheme for offensively because if you want to run all day, you know, the Ravens had a little bit of success with that, but then if you get in the red zone, they're locking you down. And they did really, really, really poor schematic game against the Dallas Cowboys the other day and just sitting back in a zone all day. Mm. They just sat back in a zone, and that's not
Steelers
football.
Dared Gilbert to beat him.
But you know what?
He almost did.
He almost did, which is wild. And they dared him to beat him, and he was hot that night. He was on fire.
First half.
Yesterday afternoon.
Yeah,
but he wasn't like off target blowing the game.
No. I mean, he had a chance at the end, and it was just.
But the reason they can win and they will be in every game is because of that defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's, I think, unquestionably the best defense in the NFL at this point in time. There aren't even, honestly, a whole lot of other contenders.
It's really
for that spot.
The Bears.
Yeah, the Bears. I mean, I think the Saints have a pretty good defense, too. We should give them some credit.
But, yeah, you're right.
But it's a short list. I mean, we're counting on one hand the amount of good, really, really good defenses in the NFL this year.
Man, I feel bad for the Bears' defense. If they had a better offense on their side, they might even be more elite than they are.
Okay, well, that you just gave the title of the book on the Chicago Bears. Like, that's a history of the Chicago
Bears.
That's
what they do.
If they had a better
defense
offense.
Only.
I mean, their one Super Bowl title was won because of a defense, and it's known as one of the greatest defenses of all time, right? I mean, the MVP of that Super Bowl was a defensive player, Richard Dent. But you have a very, very good defense with the Pittsburgh Steelers that just feels like it makes plays whenever. Minkah Fitzpatrick, I mean, I know he's really good, but that the ball is like magnetically attracted to him. I don't understand
what
it is. He's
always around the football. He's a kid out of New Jersey that Florida State was in the running for. Five-star corner.
Myron Roll style.
And I always, when they moved him to safety at Alabama, I always wondered how he'd be there because he's not a big guy. He's not a big hitter.
No.
But he is so fluid back there. He's so athletic. He's so smooth. He is always around the football. And guess what? 2 weeks in a row now against the Ravens and the Cowboys when they needed a stop at the end of the game, a literal last throw to the end zone.
He's
guess
got
who
it.
Batted it down?
Both times.
Both times. Looked like the same play.
All right, now the Steelers' warts. Because every single one of these teams have warts. And that's the thing. Unlike years past, it doesn't feel like there's a clear-cut team that is just dominant. And for the Steelers,
that's why this year's going to be so fun down the stretch.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
The Steelers are 8-0, but they are not some elite NFL historic 8-0
team. No, they're not like the Patriots when they went 17-0 that year where you felt like, who's going to beat this team?
That was the best team I've ever seen.
Right, exactly. This Steelers team, it's got to be some combination of the offense and the way they play against certain teams.
I just hate the play calling. Randy Fitcher, maybe, is how you say his name. I can't remember, but me and my cousin Noah text about it all game, talked to him yesterday at halftime. He runs the ball on first down pretty much every time. Out of the eye, out of the single back, you name it. It's very frustrating, very predictable. But the biggest ward of the Steelers is not just that offensive play calling, but it's Ben in general. There's a lot of times where there's guys open. There's a lot of playmakers. They may not be huge household names, but an Eric Ebron at tight end is a nice piece on the receiving threat.
He's played really well. And he stayed healthy. That's kind of the biggest thing with him. He's never healthy.
A very, very athletic tight end that's had some injury issues. And then Deontay Johnson in the slot, James Washington as your number three, Juju, Claypool. I mean, there's a lot of guys there to get the ball to, and Ben's not getting him the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a little bit of frustration there from Steelers fans, I know.
Hear me out on this. This almost feels like we've gone full circle. Like the Steelers are back to the beginning of Ben's career where they're winning despite Ben, not because of Ben.
Yeah, it's a great point.
And as long as he doesn't screw it up or at least like facilitates the right way, then and the running game's good, then like the Steelers are going to be great and maybe the team to beat. But if he...
That's a really good point.
If he starts trying to be like old school superhero Ben, which, I mean, yesterday it was hilarious that, I don't know, it's not funny, but it's funny at the same time that like the second he goes down with what looks like a career ending injury, he gets up and like leads a touchdown drive and then goes to the locker room.
Then goes to the locker room.
He gets a turnover and Mason Rudolph.
Because you know him, he's like, guys, I promise you it's torn. It's torn. They're like, yeah. Ben, there's nothing
wrong. I mean, his face, he was in agony laying on the field and then gets up and limps his way down the field leading a touchdown drive. I mean, it was
through a beautiful pass.
It was, but
it
just,
honestly woke him up.
It's so Big Ben. It's just so Big Ben. All right, so we've covered the Steelers. Let's go to the team that won the Super Bowl last year, the Kansas City Chiefs. And they still look very good. They look good enough, right, to defend their title this year.
Mahomes is unbelievable.
And that offense is still so good. They've added weapons. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They've added Le'Veon Bell now. They've got so much on offense. It's almost unfair how many offensive weapons they have, which is why I like them still. And the defense is still good, but not as good. And that'd be a concern. But starting with why I like this Kansas City team, any team with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback and that diverse group of weapons, you can't count them out of any game, and you have to like them going into every single matchup they have.
I love the Kansas City Chiefs. That's my number one team in the AFC. As a Steelers fan, I do not want to play the Chiefs. I hope someone knocks them off, because that offense against the Steelers secondary would be a hell of a matchup, Steelers pass rush against them and their offensive line. But they, like you mentioned, the issue is they have so many weapons. If you want to play high on Tyreek Hill, you're leaving everything underneath for Travis Kelce, dump offs to Edwards-Helaire, and Helaire. Your Helaire, because everyone's having a huge issue with his damn pronunciation. Week one with Jim Nance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was like Hellair.
Yeah,
and then we had,
and then he overcorrected.
No, Al Michaels had that. Yeah,
yeah.
And then Steve Levy was like E Claire, and I was like, no, just kidding.
Yeah, he was really
he was really enunciating it. Yeah, yeah. Apparently, it is Eli.
But yeah, everything underneath is going to be, you know, easy for Mahomes. Mm. That's not a challenge at all. But then also the way he's rolling out of the pocket. Yesterday they had him running for his life. The Panthers did, and they dropped 34 points on him.
Right, and that would lead to part of my concerns with the Chiefs. Number one, yeah, that defense, and this will sound repetitive on a lot of these teams going forward, but the defense isn't what it was the year before, certainly. I mean, it's still got some playmakers in it, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, etc., but they're just not playing quite as to that level that we're used to expecting to see them play at, especially based off of how their performance was last year. The other thing that is a little bit different off the beaten path for me, they turned the ball over a lot this year. Yeah. I mean, Travis Kelce may have... No, he fumbles all the time.
He
and
holds
then,
the ball like he's Deion Sanders.
I mean, he fumbles like once a game. And then and even Mahomes has been a little more careless with the ball this year, whether he's been stripped with pressure, and a lot of it is because of the pressure that is actually getting to him. And I know he's so good at avoiding and extending, but he's been rattled a little bit by pressure at times this year. And that you're seeing maybe the tiniest bit of a blueprint of how to play him some. You can't get him timed. If he beats you on a crazy rollout, unbelievable throw, then you tip your cap, but at least
because
make him do it.
Because he's a Hall of Famer, and he's going to go down as one of the best based on what we've seen, barring injury. Also, I have to just sneak this in there. We're talking contenders here. A team that's not a contender that I have to give a shout-out to that we both love. God, the Panthers are so well-coached.
Yeah, Rhule, I think he's a really good hire there. I mean, he's making something out of nothing,
Brady,
and they play tough.
I mean, they took a risk on Joe Brady, who had 1 year of good production on the college level as a guy with
Had NFL background. I mean, he came
background.
From the Saints.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I would trust anybody that comes from the Peyton coaching tree, especially on offense.
I'll just tell you, they are going to be something to deal with. They're fun to watch. Just because if you like X's and O's, they just do
it'll
it
be interesting to see if they ride with Teddy B or if they try to maybe address. I think it'd be smart to address at least, you know, go second round, late first round QB, something like that. I don't know. But All right, moving on. Do you have anything else on the Chiefs?
No, I'm with you. I mean, the defense has some secondary concerns. They don't have an elite linebacker. They have Chris Jones and Derek Nnadi in the middle. That's nice. And then Frank Clark
at
DN.
Yeah.
But I just don't love their defense. I think they're beatable for sure.
All right, the Baltimore Ravens. We know why you can pick them and why you feel good about them, because they have the most dynamic athlete playing the quarterback position in the NFL. Yep. They have the best tight end group. They run the ball so well, and they are a team as well coached to what they have as
in the
NFL. And
they have a damn good defense.
Yes. And, one that we haven't really mentioned probably properly enough to this point. It feels... You talk about a team, there are a handful of these teams in the NFL, right, that have true identities. The Ravens have an identity. You know exactly what you're getting, and it works. And there's something to be said for that. But the same red flags raise themselves. They haven't won a playoff game. They struggle to win the big game. I mean, they lost to the Steelers this year at home. What is it going to take for this group to actually become one that you like in a Super Bowl, to make it to a Super Bowl?
Go back to those playoff games you mentioned they lost. All historically bad performances by Lamar Jackson. He's obviously what makes them go.
Well, the first one was, it was a little tough on him. I mean,
when he was a rookie?
Yeah, the rookie year when they lost to the Chargers. I mean,
yeah, they didn't score.
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't very good.
Look what they did against the Titans.
There wasn't
a
ton expected
score
from him at that point.
No,
last
I agree.
Last year, there was a lot expected from him,
but
and
Scott,
he flopped.
It's starting to feel like a trend.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because when he is kept in the pocket, he cannot sit there and make throws.
Consistently.
Yeah, well, when he's rattled, he just doesn't make them. He misses. I can count 4 or 5 times he missed Mark Andrews.
Yeah, no, I'm saying
against
like,
the Steelers
he'll hit some
2 weeks ago.
He'll hit some throws, but like if he's got to sit there back there and make 3 consecutive throws, like he's not going to do that.
Yeah, that's just not his game. No. If you keep him in the pocket, you have a chance to beat them every single time. Mm-hmm. I also don't like the fact that they don't have a receiver on the outside that they can play. Marquise Brown's okay. He's a good player. He's super fast, super electric. But he's not going to just sit there and move the chains on a consistent basis.
No. They almost have too many tight ends. And not.
That's right. They don't. Yeah, I think they could. And we'll see what Dez Bryant becomes. I'm not going to buy into that. He hasn't been moved up yet.
Not going to hold my breath on that.
But a Dez Bryant in his prime kind of receiver. Not that
possession guy, move the chains kind of guy.
I think that would help them a lot. A big body that can go across the middle, make some stuff happen, make it easier for Lamar Jackson.
They need him to be Anquan Boldin from the Super Bowl year in 2012, 2013.
But I just
don't. But I don't think he's got that in him anymore.
The Ravens don't scare me like the Chiefs scare me.
I agree.
Because if you keep, you know, Mahomes on the run, outside the pocket, inside the pocket, you name it, he can hurt you. Different arm angles, all that. Lamar Jackson tries the arm angles thing. He's not that guy.
No.
He's not that guy at all. Oh, my God. Joe Flacco just slinging it today.
That's what he does, man. He's Hail Mary. It's the PI offense. Mm. That's the best way they can move it. All right. As we get further down this list, I think
you agree with the Ravens there?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
As we get further down this list, I think we'll find that it goes a little quicker because there's just quicker things to say on these things. Our last team we're going to talk about was the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, exciting,
Josh
fun.
Allen, that little bastard,
Josh Allen, I can't
figure him out.
I know.
Is he good or what?
Sometimes
he's not.
They're well coached. They're another team that seems to kind of have figured out who they are, and they play that way well. But then you're concerned because they're a roller coaster. You just don't know what version of the Bills you're going to get every week.
No.
That's it. That's your analysis.
Yeah, no, I thought there was more to that. I thought you had more.
No,
coming
I mean that's it. I mean,
well,
the
Scott,
Bills, like,
you couldn't
it's
have said
hard,
it better.
It's they're, hard to break them down because
1 week Josh
they're
Allen,
Jekyll and Hyde.
That's. I mean, that really is all there is to it. You said to go quicker, and you're absolutely correct. Josh Allen yesterday looked like an MVP. In the first three games, we sat here and apologized to him, and then we renounced our apology and said no. He's still, you know, jury's still out on him. He looked good last week, and if he plays like that, they have Stephon Diggs. They love John Brown at receiver. They get him involved a lot. He's super fast. Defense can be scrappy. They're tough, got a lot of big names. You just feel like the Bills playing at their full potential could be really good. You just don't see it that much.
My concern is just the fact that, like, they're the Buffalo Bills. Like, it's just...
Oh, yeah, they won't.
It's not a franchise that just does this, and I do think there's a little bit too. Now, granted, the Chiefs were able to kind of exercise some demons last year finally, so maybe there are more candidates. Maybe the Bills are the next team that's able to do that. But it just does feel like when you haven't been there, when you don't know how to take care of yourself, and that feeling of elite of confidence doesn't permeate throughout the franchise, then yeah, there's something like nagging in the back of your mind the whole time until they get it done. And granted, the Chiefs were able to get over that hump because they had the best quarterback in the NFL. Josh Allen, for all that he is, he's certainly not that yet. And Josh Allen comes out in the playoffs and plays like we've seen in four of their games this year, then yeah, I think they can make a run. If he comes out and plays like he did in the other like three games this year, then yeah, maybe not. You know, I wish I had more, you know, scientific analysis
no,
than that,
that's
but
it.
That's it.
I mean, that's about as scientific as it gets with the Bills because they are far from a proven science experience.
Mm-hmm. All right, to the NFC, we'll start off with the Green Bay Packers. Packers started off really well, obviously lost that bad game down in Tampa. They put together a couple of weeks.
And that's had me over buying the Bucks for like 2 weeks now.
I know.
You know?
And we're going to get to them here in a second, but... For the Packers, they go against, I know, is a team that was very depleted in the 49ers, but they sat there and they said, guess what? Forget it. Thursday night in San Fran, everybody's doubting us.
We were drinking some cold beers watching that game together, yep. And I told you, here's my reason I took the San Fran 49ers plus 7.5, and you were like, dude, this is just, that's not the pick.
Nope.
It's not the pick. A-Rod is going to come out and do it, you know, and you obviously were right. But Aaron Rodgers is another guy that if his name and jersey were different and you swapped it with Josh Allen, you'd say he's Jekyll and Hyde because he has been inconsistent this year for a guy that's all pro, all time elite at times. I mean, top of the top, Aaron Rodgers, when he's on his game, is top five of all time, maybe, if not higher, top three. I mean, he's amazing, but he just hasn't been that guy consistently. So obviously he's not in that conversation right now, but it's hard to trust their defense.
True.
And we're saying that about everyone. I get it. I don't like the receivers enough outside of Devontae Adams, but God, he is good.
Well, here's the thing. Devontae Adams may be the best receiver in the NFL this year. And
hot take alert.
Well, he is. I mean, it's not the hottest of take. Like, literally, there's a reporter that asked him after the game last Thursday if he thought he was the best. There were people saying
he's a receiver. Of course,
yeah,
he said
of course
he is.
Said, yes.
Yeah.
But his numbers this year kind of back it up. I mean, look at a team. I would just say this. I'm not going to doubt that offense as long as Devontae Adams is out there with Aaron Rodgers, because they're unbelievable together.
And health has been the issue with them.
It feels like
Aaron
Greg
Jones,
Jennings or Jordy Nelson. Like, he's got that kind of connection with him.
Yeah, you're right. No, I like the Packers. And took a little futures bet on them. I don't know you knew that.
No, I did not.
Yeah, took a little futures bet. I like them a lot. And then they've let me down also. So the problem is I don't know which Packers team I'm going to get. But their defense, if they can get just enough stops, I mean, Jaire Alexander on the outside is locking people down this season. It's really the rest of the team that's the problem defensively. But you're right. With Adams and a healthy Aaron Jones and A-Rod playing the way he plays, that they could be lethal.
I'll put it this way. Last year's Packers team went 13-3. That felt like a falsely inflated number the whole time, and then they got exposed when they actually played a good team in the playoffs. This year's team feels better than that. I mean, I don't think they're going to go 13-3, but I think that they actually I don't foresee them getting just crushed by a good team in the playoffs.
Is your brother still a Packers fan?
Yeah, he's still locked in. Yeah, he's
okay.
He's enjoying it.
How does he feel about this team?
I haven't gotten his opinion on it yet. But
Keith, do you listen still? We're talking to you. Tell us.
Yeah.
We need to know.
I guess we'll find out.
How do you feel about the Packers?
I guess we'll find out hopefully later on this week.
Hey, speaking of the Packers, in that division, I'm very interested to see if the Vikings can keep this momentum going. Dalvin Cook's at an elite level right now.
Well, there you go. That's the whole thing.
I know.
The momentum goes as far as Dalvin Cook does.
Yeah.
If Dalvin Cook stays healthy, momentum can go with it. If
he
gets hurt, they're toast.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's going to be fun to watch that division shake out at the end. Mm-hmm. It is, because the Packers are looking like they figured it out, and the anomaly was actually the loss to Tampa Bay, and that's not the norm.
Right. I agree with you. All right, so let's go to the South, and we'll go with the two teams that played each other last night. First, with the winning team, the New Orleans Saints. They're now 2-0 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year, by the way. So they pretty much have the division wrapped up at this point in time.
Pretty much
barring
wrapped
a collapse.
Up. The coaching there on offense is so impressive, how they have Drew Brees able to hit open guys underneath. He's not throwing bombs. He has Emmanuel Sanders helping him out. He's dumping off to Kamara. Mm-hmm. He has Mike Thomas back. I like the Saints. I just don't know how much I can trust this version of Drew Brees. If I had to pick, and I know this is not, you know what? We'll do this at the end. I'm going to pick your NFC and AFC championship games at the
end. We did this last year, kind of a halfway point. Yeah. We did a reestablishment, but honestly, this year's group.
I still don't trust Drew Brees is my synopsis.
But here's my counter to that. Last year was the year that it felt like Sean Payton was. Last year, he was still kind of feeling it out, what he wanted to do. Remember, Drew Brees got hurt, and then they were playing Bridgewater and like Taysom Hill. It's like, where does he fit in? And then all this. This year, they've had a good rhythm to the way that they rotate those two QBs. So this is Taysom Hill comes in, does his thing a couple times a drive. Drew Brees is in, does his thing a couple times. It's like the rare moment at a college team where you can rotate
the dual quarterback
where you have the dual quarterback that works, you know, like Steve Spurrier is smiling somewhere watching Saints games on Sundays. This is incredible because we've never seen this actually work in the NFL. But this is working in a way that both of those guys have limitations, and they just counter each other's limitations. Even though you know what each one is going to do when they come in, it's still so hard to prepare for it. And I think Sean Payton, in a way, on offense, has it dialed in as good as he's had it since really those prime Saints runs?
Yeah. I'd agree with that. He has great talent around him, and the defense, who you brought up earlier, is playing really well. So that's going to help.
That's what makes me feel. I mean, I know last year I picked the Saints, I think right at the start of the playoffs, they were my Super Bowl pick out of the NFC to win the NFC. And I still think that defense is just as good, if not as not better this year. And the offense seems to be a little more defined this year than it was last year.
They're consistent.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't mean they're elite and dropping 40 points a game.
No, but
it
you
means
know
that
getting.
They can go get their points. They can go score. They can keep you in games. You know, you mentioned Taysom Hill. God, he's electric. When he's in the game,
you know what he's going to do,
you
and
know
he still gets 7-8 yards a pop.
He's a wildly fast Tim Tebow.
With
a cannon arm.
You know what's incredible? So Taysom Hill, I mean, he's ancient. Like for
he's 30?
Yeah, like he's got to be close to 30.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. But he's a guy that in college so he goes to BYU, so guys are always older there anyway. But he played like 6 years in college because he kept getting hurt and kept getting red shirts. He's 30 years old, yeah.
Yeah. I remember him there.
2 months younger than me.
They brought in, when he got hurt 1 year,
Tanner Mangum.
I bet on him. Tanner Mangum, number 13.
12.
12. Yeah, was he 13? Was Taysom Hill 13?
I think he was 4.
Maybe yes, he was. Yeah, he beat Texas.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Taysom
he was
Hill.
Really, really good at BYU, and then he kept getting hurt. He broke a foot, something else, and then, you know, so then they bring in Mangum, and then Mangum was pulling crazy wins out of his butt.
And he was there forever,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Yeah.
That's
well,
kind of the fun of it.
How about the team they just stomped yesterday? I mean, the Tampa Bay Bucs. What do we think?
Man,
talking about an outlier, right?
I know. It's so hard because I sat there and I thought that if you had asked me this question yesterday or Sunday morning, I would have not listed the Saints and I would have listed the Bucs.
Yep.
But in this situation, the Bucs. They're still, if we just talked about how some of these teams feel more complete on one side of the ball or not, the Bucs still feel incomplete on both sides of the football,
which is
a problem.
Crazy because the players are there.
Yes, but it just doesn't feel like they're together, does it?
They have to protect Brady. They had a guard out yesterday or a center, whatever Ali Marpet is, him specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
The interior lineman, how about that? That would have covered my ass if I said that.
Yep.
Interior lineman was out yesterday. And Brady will never do that again, especially in a big moment. I just don't think he will.
Threw?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The wounded duck?
It was terrible. I just don't see him playing that bad and that defense playing that bad. Mm-hmm. I really do like their defense. I love Devin White. I'll go ahead and say I'm just scratching that one from my memory.
Yeah, I am inclined to agree with you because I felt like that was just – every single person associated with the Bucs did not do their job yesterday on Sunday. Like, from the coaching
staff
down.
They tried so hard to get Antonio Brown involved, and it's
dumb.
Like, he just got
now,
back.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. But, I mean, this is a situation where they set a record for the fewest rushing attempts. Like, what were
seven.
Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich thinking? And I granted, you fell behind early, but
yeah.
Run the ball. Like, protect your quarterback a little bit there. And don't expect him to bail you out at 40-something years old. The thing that concerns me, one of the things that concerns me the most, is that Antonio Brown is a cancer. And bringing him in could submarine this whole ship. And I'm not kidding when I say that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The only reason I think they were willing to do it is because they think Brady can say...
Brady went in and said, like, we're doing this. And they're like, I guess we have to because you said so.
Right,
because
Brady knows his window.
I do not think that Bruce Arians was like, we got to go get Antonio.
No, he said earlier in the year he didn't love the idea of it. I agree with you, but how changed is he? I think he's a crazy person. So
I don't think he's changed at all.
I don't think he has either, but
no,
he claims that he is, and that would be the difference in them having a sinking ship or not.
Yeah, I mean, in a matter of, I don't know, do you trust crazy guy to tell you he's not crazy? That's where it's like, all right, who do we trust here in this situation? I have no idea.
Dude, I swear, I'm not crazy, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, enough on.
All right. So how about this? Who's your AFC top two?
Wait. We got one more team here.
Seahawks.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, yes, yeah. We do.
So they lost to the Buffalo Bills, who we talked about earlier yesterday in Buffalo. I think it's as simple as this with the Seahawks. And I know we did this kind of simple with Buffalo, so it feels appropriate to kind of do it on the other side mirror as like the fourth team in the respective conference. The Seahawks have Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf, and you can't count them out because of that. But their defense is the worst. It's a bottom three in the NFL, and you have to count them out because of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all there is to say.
And I just can't. It's so hard to sit there. And early in the season, I was going, you know what? They can do this because Russ is that good, where he can outperform the lack of performance by the defense. But it's shown up now that that's just not sustainable.
They cannot get a stop. Their secondary is terrible. Their
D-line's terrible.
And they
got Adams back. They added somebody else to the defense, too, I think, this past weekend. Yeah. Carlos, he was terrible all year. There was a reason why he wasn't playing in Cincinnati.
He wasn't
any good.
I like how they added him.
They're like, oh, Carlos Dunlap. It's like, no, he's not good. He was available from a bad team because he's not good. But that's the situation they were in. They had to make the move. He's a name, but not much else. But here we are. We just ran through, right? Four teams in each conference. All of them, with varying degrees, you can point to levels of why we like them. But all of them have warts. And, man, I can't tell you the last time we've had this many teams that are both good and flawed this late in the season, halfway through at this point.
That's something to look at across the whole landscape. I had a buddy text me yesterday, man, the Steelers' defense just doesn't look good, when they were getting carved up by Kyle Allen.
Yep. Not Kyle Allen. It was Garrett Gilbert.
Oh, Garrett Gilbert. Yeah, good point. Same guy, right? Pretty much.
I like Garrett Gilbert better. Texas boy.
What a great quarterback name. Texas has a way of putting good quarterback names out. Yeah. Colt McCoy, Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen was an A&M kid.
He was an A&M kid for a hot minute. Yeah. Him and Kyler Murray were on the
same
team.
That's why I got
confused.
How was that? Kyler Murray. Think of all these names. This is good stuff here. Do you not agree?
No, I agree.
Okay,
all right, fine.
I made us lose our train of thought. Okay, yeah, so the buddy texted me about the defense getting carved up. I'm like, yeah, but who out there can the Steelers line up against and you say they're not gonna be in this game for four quarters, if not be favored? There's not a team out there they can't beat. There's not a team out there the Chiefs can't beat. There's not a team out there a hot Packers team can beat. There's not a team out there that the Saints can't beat. There is a lot of fun football left to be played because there are warts.
Exactly. All right, so our picks. All right, you want to go first or me?
You go ahead.
Okay,
How about this? Give me your AFC, I'll give you my NFC.
All right, my AFC is the Kansas City Chiefs. My NFC is the New Orleans.
Okay, you're picking winner of the
AFC.
AFC,
right?
Yeah.
Are we picking AFC championship game matchups? You want to do that? I can do that.
Why don't we just go top two?
Top two.
When you feel like that. Yeah,
I
mean, just pick your winner. You got Chiefs.
Yeah, I got Chiefs, and out of the NFC, I've got the New Orleans Saints.
You like the Saints? Two years in a row last year.
I know. I think this might be the same two teams I picked last year.
Scott
honestly
hasn't learned his lesson.
No. Hey, you know what? I got to be right eventually. You stick with it.
You're right. Hey, broken clocks right twice a day, right? That's what they say.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. AFC, I have the Chiefs as well. I just think at the end of the day, there's too many weapons, and they'll get one more score than the Steelers in the AFC championship game. That's just how it works. I got the Chiefs facing the Green Bay Packers, an all-time classic matchup.
Yeah.
Old school, baby.
Super Bowl one.
Old school.
Do it again.
And that's right. Line it up. Let's do it again. And I like your Saints pick. I like the Seahawks to challenge people. No one wants to see the Seahawks in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, the Bucs and the Packers, I'm torn between those two. I think the Bucs get things right. They have a great defense. They haven't been playing great. But I do. I have Packers Chiefs.
Okay. Well, we'll check back on that in half a season from now, right? When we're close to it.
Mark these down.
Yeah. The stats, get on that. All right. Let's wrap things up. I got a couple quick things, a little coast to coast here for you to finish things up today.
You
haven't
still
done this one
play
in a while.
The plane in the background?
Yeah, just play.
Oh, very nice.
You missed it.
Oh, sorry. My headphones running.
All right, so coast to coast, a couple of quick topics here to hit. Let's start with this. The NASCAR Cup Championship Series finale was on Sunday in Phoenix.
Scott, let me see your shirt.
Yeah, and I'm repping the newest and third youngest NASCAR Cup Series champion of all time, Chase Elliott, 24 years of age, turning 25 in about a month. He bested your driver, Slowey Logano, and passed him with about 60 laps to go and held him off the rest of the way, and wins his first championship, stymieing Logano from his second. And I don't know if you watched any of that yesterday or if you watched any of the playoffs in general, or if you're just a fake NASCAR fan. Or
I was such a fake NASCAR fan. This our buddy Eric this morning was asking me about it, and I had every intention to watch it, but you get entrapped by red zone. It's almost illegal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, two screens, man. I had the two screens going. I had red zone on one, and I had the race on the other.
And I would have. I just
and
didn't
race
think
is
to do
a great
it. You know I'm a
two-screen
guy. I always put the other screen right here.
Race is a great second screen thing because, like,
you don't have to be locked in.
Right. You look over, and then if things get interesting, you tune in. You know, if there's a wreck, you tune in. Yeah, it's like
I had
my favorite second screen
every
thing.
Intention of doing it. But the red zone was on. I was too lazy to go get the other TV, so I was just like locked in. But you almost came and stand up to go pee. I mean, every time you stand up, Scott Hansen's bringing you somewhere else. And hang on here, Jacoby Brissett is in to throw a Hail Mary. Oh, he ended up not throwing it. And it's like, well, what a waste. I could have, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it sucks you in, and I got sucked in. So I'm a victim.
I know. If nothing else, I think, even though he's not your driver, watch a little bit of the post-race stuff, pretty cool. I mean, the Jimmy Johnson, kind of the passing of the torch there to Hendrick. First Hendrick champion since Johnson wins his seventh and final. And then, of course, yesterday his last race as an active NASCAR Cup Series driver. That was cool. Seeing Bill Elliott down there celebrating was cool. Seeing Mr. Rick Hendrick down there celebrating was cool. It was just sort of it was a moment that felt good for NASCAR because as good as it is to see guys like Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski and others, Chase Elliott taps into that portion of the NASCAR fan base that's been there for forever, right? Like the people that grew up watching NASCAR that have watched it their whole lives, know Bill, now know Chase, and to see a legacy guy go and become just the third father-son duo to win Cup Series championships along with Lee Petty and Richard Petty and Ned Jarrett and Dale Jarrett. Pretty cool stuff there, and there's a reason why he's NASCAR's most popular driver, and it's hard to fathom that he's not going to continue to do great things at just shy of 25 years old at this point.
Congrats to you. So I have to say, you've been there from the start.
I have. I adopted Chase at Bristol Motor Speedway.
You're a father.
When I watched him in the...
We're both dads. Yeah. This is a dad podcast.
I watched him in the Nationwide race. I was like, I'm Chase Elliott. I'm gonna like that. I'm going to root for that guy. And then the next year is when it announced he was taking over for Gordon in the 24. And I was like, yeah, I'm on board. Obviously, I need a new driver. And he's driving the 24. I've already got all my 24 stuff. And then he switched to the 9.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, this is kind of better anyway, because it feels like this is him becoming independent of Gordon. And
your
I'm
son
able to be
became
a
man?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, next up. Major League Baseball. They have, obviously, the season ended a couple weeks ago. Dodgers win the World Series. There is discussion now of a potential to explore neutral site World Series going further after the World Series was held, of course, at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas this year. That was out of necessity because they were creating a bubble type environment due to the pandemic. Would you like this concept going forward for baseball to kind of move around and play neutral site World Series kind of like the NFL does or college football does?
No. I want them going home and home. There's something about a series that makes it fun when you're going to Yankee Stadium. And then the next game is, I like the idea, and it worked really well this year. I thought it was cool. It makes an event. It's like, oh, they're in Arlington, Texas. Like, that makes it like the Super Bowl. It feels big. But also, it can't work in baseball.
No, I'm 100% with you because, like, look, like the Super Bowl is an event. It's one game. So, like, the fans can spend the money to go down to go to the one game, but that's it. Like, you can't spend the money to go down to spend a week in Arlington, Texas. Most fans, right? And tickets obviously were down in prices this year because, like, there was a limited amount and the demand and where it was at. I mean, if you're playing in a regular year in which they're packing it full, I mean, those things will jack right back up. Now, there's something to playoff atmospheres in the building, like you said, a series, whether it's basketball or baseball or hockey. You're playing a series, you're bouncing back and forth, home field, home court, home ice advantage. That's just the way it's supposed to be.
I agree with you there. Hopefully they don't move forward with that.
I agree, but I don't know. I mean, with Rob Manfred, I'm not ruling anything out at this point. All right, I've got, let's see, did I have one more here? Oh, yes, one more. The Masters is this weekend. The Masters on CBS. All right, hello, friends. The azaleas are not in bloom. The leaves are falling from the trees.
It's going to be
But it's still
awesome.
A tradition like any other.
I can't wait to see what the course looks. Just, we're so used to
right.
a image of the Masters every year. If you don't even watch it, you've seen enough commercials about it to know exactly what the course looks like. Amen Corner, the whole nine, no pun intended. You understand what the Masters is about and the scenery and the mystique of it. I can't wait to see how different it looks this year.
So two things, one a statement, one a question. First of all, if you haven't seen it yet, the promo that was released on Monday morning by the Masters on their Twitter account, social media stuff, Coach Taylor, Kyle Chandler, voiced it over. So you've got Friday Night Lights, Coach Taylor doing the voiceover for it. Most appropriate thing for like a fall Masters I've ever heard.
Wow.
It was so good. So good. I recommend watching that. Secondly, normally the Masters is competing against nothing but maybe regular season baseball, maybe some NBA playoffs, early rounds. It's going right up against a college football Saturday and an NFL Sunday.
On a final Sunday.
How
finals
much
for the Masters.
So how much are you watching?
Saturday I'm actually going to watch more than I anticipated strictly because we reviewed the slate before the game.
Yeah.
College football slate's pretty weak this week. I mean, Florida State plays at 7:30 on ACC Network. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to watch it. I'm going to have to try and bootleg it. I mean, I'm sick of this ACC Network bull.
See, I'm the other way around. I love the ACC Network. I hate when they play on the Fox Sports Regionals because those are the channels I don't get.
You don't have. Okay, so.
So we're experiencing the same pain but with different reasons for that pain.
Different channels. So Saturday, I'm going to have it on. That's a
now,
dual screen.
You know the
day.
Times, right? Let me tell you here. Third round starts, coverage starts at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And coverage starts at 10 a.m. on Sunday. So
how great is that? Because I don't even watch NFL pregame anymore.
Yeah. Well, there's no point in watching
it. No, there's no point in watching it at all. I think the best part about what they're doing here is
2 hours of that on a Sunday is great. And then hopefully, I mean, you're sitting in a situation where how are they doing the NFL on Sunday? I just thought about that.
1 o'clock. Well,
no, the Masters is on CBS till 3 o'clock. So, how are the NFL games airing? All right, hold up.
I mean, there's more. They always play it on Fox. They played on.
Yeah, but is it just on Fox?
Maybe the CBS just isn't.
CBS
picking
is
up.
All the late slate. Maybe they just moved. Ooh,
they might have
that be
done
awesome.
That. They might have.
Oh,
done
they
that.
Push everything to the afternoon. All right, we're gonna confirm.
No, they didn't push everything to the afternoon. You mean
well,
maybe
Fox
CBS
would,
just?
Yeah, CBS does.
Yeah,
that's
Fox
what I'm saying. Their whole
early
thing.
Games. Yeah.
All right, so Fox has a 1 o'clock, a 1 o'clock, a 1 o'clock, a 1 o'clock, a 1 o'clock. CBS has all the 4:05s.
Wow.
And then Fox has a couple of 4:25s.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a very light slate for the NFL this week, too. It must be a lot of bye weeks. So that works out perfectly
there are
for them.
A lot of bye weeks.
So that works out perfectly for them. And that's going to be one of the more underrated sports days of the year this Sunday.
This Sunday? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what else is there? Just Masters in football?
Yeah, but the way it's set up, like you're not missing.
They're big time. Yeah.
You're not missing a ton of football to watch the Masters. You'll be done with the Masters and you'll have missed, you know, Houston, Cleveland. And
right.
Detroit,
an hour
Washington.
And a half, it'll
you
lead
know?
You right.
The
right.
Giants in Philly. Wow. Okay.
It'll bring you right out of halftime.
Like I'll be okay missing some of those games,
yep.
And then sliding straight into Miami Chargers and Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and the Rams and the Seahawks and New Orleans and the 49ers. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a
Red Zone's going to be great in the afternoon.
I love the afternoon slate anyway when it comes to Red Zone. Just
well, you get to watch a little bit more. Yeah, they're not bouncing around.
But this is
going to
be that'll be a fuller slate, yeah. So that'll be good.
So now we know what our plans are for that this weekend. It sets up pretty nicely there. But yeah, I'm you know, I don't want this to stick, but I'll appreciate it for what it is, a fall Masters. College Game Day will be out there on Saturday before they get their coverage started on Saturday afternoon, which when we looked at the weekend slate for college football, we saw that LSU-Alabama is a 25-point spread. So the games that they were planning on being good aren't actually good. Good opportunity for them to go do something a little bit different. In a year in which everything is different, why not embrace the differentness, right?
Yeah, no, this is actually going to be a lot of fun, and like I said, I can't wait to just see the aesthetics of it. I can't wait to see what it looks like.
It should be fun. All right, that's it for Coast to Coast. And I say that does it for this week's program. This was a good one, a packed one. We covered a lot. But
a welcome back episode.
Great to be back together this week for the Sports Bar Podcast. Again, there is a sale going on, Ice Mule Coolers. No promo code needed, 20% off at checkout. Buy those holiday gifts now. Don't wait till the last second. I know you at home are a procrastinator, so I'm talking to you if you're listening to this. Poor Alex. I'm Scott. This has been another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.
Should have thrown on my pit hat again. I'll be committing to Pitt University.